Hello there, we're in the World House, House of the Rocky Nugu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Hallelujah. I prophesy over you, every problem you are going through right now, one shout of hallelujah will swallow them up. As you keep praising Him on top of the problem, that problem will become a testimony in your life. No circumstance of life will drown your praise. No situation will crush your praise. Nothing you are passing through will stop your hallelujah. Shout a loud amen. Give Him the final hallelujah and clap this morning. You may be seated. Amen. I welcome you to this awesome and auspicious service in the presence of the Lord. I want you to know that it's been a great season since after the Accelerate conference. And like I was saying in the first service, nobody accelerates a car and sits down in one place. The only time you park your car is when it goes to park. When you accelerate, it's a sign you want to go to another level. Is that true? Answer me, is that true? So when we came out of the conference, God began to speak to us about taking flight. Why did He talk to us about taking flight? It's because we are moving to another level. Is there anyone who's going to another dimension? Is there anyone who's moving higher and better? Hallelujah. So I'd like to say thank you once again for coming this morning. To all of you worshiping with us online, we love you. And thank you for the access into your space. God will come true for you in Jesus' name. We'd like you to know that the prayers are on. We've been through 1 week, remaining 2 weeks to go. 8 p.m. every night, we are on our Telegram channel. And we are all praying together. It's been awesome. It's been beautiful. You want to join us? Saturday mornings, we'll be meeting here from 7 a.m. to 10. The reason we are doing to 10 is because of the night prayers also going on. And we figured out that 5 hours on top of those other ones will be too much of some people's time. So we do 3 hours on Saturday, 1 hour every night, Monday to Friday. Join us tomorrow's night. Let's do it together as we take flight. Say amen. Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. The man-to-man conference is coming up on the first week of August. And I don't know why they still haven't put the date for me here. But it's going to be, it's going to run from Sunday to Sunday. It's going to be an effective and powerful conference. We are going to be covering every area of family life as well as talk about money. Our guest speakers include the Honorable Reverend Ugochime. Put your hands together. Then we're also going to be having Roban of Roban Stores. Then we're going to be having, to represent the Gen Zs, we're going to be having all the way from Dubai, we're going to be having John Obidi. Now, most people don't know that he has long relocated out of this country, but then he's coming in for our conference, and it's going to be an awesome time. Amen. I said amen. The only English-speaking pastor we have in church is back from England. Please help me welcome Pastor Obioma back. Amen. When he holds the microphone, you know that all of us don't know how to speak English. We're all just learning. Amen. Obi, we're happy to have you back. Mr. Franklin, it's good to see you back also. Welcome back. Amen. I can see your wife. She's not back yet. Okay. God bless you. And for every one of you who traveled, I'd like to say welcome back from Canada, from Australia, from Umunede, whatever. Just welcome back. Welcome back. That's the most important thing. You're welcome back. Amen. I said amen. All right. This morning, are you ready? Talk to me. Are you ready? Jump on your feet, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, from verse 11. Deuteronomy 32, from verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Do your bidding. Have your way. Deuteronomy 32:11. Everybody too go as an eagle stirs up a nest, fluttereth over a young, spreads abroad our wings, taketh them, beareth them on our wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Now, what was the result of that? Verse 13. He made him to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. He made him to suck honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Can I declare over somebody, it will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth? Now, you don't understand that. That's why you couldn't say amen. When he speaks of the high places of the earth, he's saying you will never be found amongst common people, ordinary people. Neither will you do business where ordinary people do business. I declare once again, you will ride on the high places of the earth. He says that he might eat the increase of the fields. Can I declare over somebody, you will not labor and someone else will eat your increase. For every labor, you will eat the increase of your fields. Then it says, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock. Can I prophesy over you? The word rock represents difficult situation, tough economy. I prophesy to somebody, in the midst of the toughness, you will suck honey. You will suck honey. I said you will suck honey. No difficulty will stop your rising. No economy will stop your shining. You will suck honey out of the rock. Then he finally says, and you will have oil out of the flinty rock. I prophesy to you, in the midst of whatever people are reporting around the world, your oil will flow. Your oil will flow. I said your oil will flow. You will suck oil out of the flinty rock in the mighty name of Jesus. Shout a better amen. Amen. Isaiah 58:14, before you sit down, Isaiah 58:14, thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord, and it will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Isaiah 58:14. Okay, it's not there yet. Isaiah 58:14, you will delight yourself in the Lord. Can we read it now to go? So notice, okay, that's all. And feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So I want you to notice, Moses spoke about riding on the high places. Isaiah is speaking about riding on the high places. So there's something about the high places that God is speaking to us and speaking to your destiny about this season. Can I prophesy over you? You will take flight. I said you will take flight. Remember I said last Sunday, you can get to Lagos anyhow. You can go by jogging. You can go by trekking. Somebody the other time, when somebody won election, trek from Lagos to Abuja. Am I correct? Where's that guy now? You can decide to go by bus, but there are few people who decide to go by flight. I prophesy over you, you will ride on the high places. In your business, in your calling, in your profession, in what God has called you to do, you will ride on the high places. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bless your word, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Say louder, amen now. Amen. Please sit down like the king that you are and welcome once again to church. Ladies and gentlemen, at the beginning of this year, the Lord spoke to us about crowns and maturity. The last 6 months of the year, we have been speaking along the lines of maturity. Maturity. Why? Because there are inheritances you will not enjoy until you attain a certain level of maturity. Is that true? The Bible says an heir, even though he is an heir, as long as he remains a child, as long as he's not matured, he will never ever inherit the property. He said it's like any other servant in the house. So even though it's the heir, it's the one who owns everything in the house, he's still treated like a servant. It's a housemaid that tells him when to bath, when to eat, and when to dress up. Why? Because he hasn't attained maturity. So the first 6 months, we've been dealing with maturity. In this remaining 6 months, we want to speak about your crown your enthronement. That's why we're talking about taking flight. Once again, I declare you will take flight. For the last time, you will take flight. The first thing I want to say as I speak about enthronement is that anyone who desires to be a blessing to God's kingdom and to humanity is already a candidate for divine sponsorship. God is mindful. And listen to this. It's about the heart, the state of the heart. Father, bless me. Father, provide for me. Father, give me a breakthrough. What exactly is in your heart? Let me tell you how God connects with you, how God decides that I will be your sponsor. When somewhere in your mind there's a desire, I want to be a blessing to God's kingdom. I also want to be a blessing to humanity. The moment you settle those two things in your heart, then you have committed God to be your sponsor. And heaven will sponsor you in Jesus' name. The second thing, that the race of greatness is going on, but it's only those who show up that can win that race. The race is going on. People are in the field. But if you don't show up in that race, guess what? Life will never reward you for intentions. Life will never reward you for being a spectator. That is the painful thing about being all these football fans. No matter how excited you are about Arsenal, guess what? When the day Arsenal wins that great tournament, those of us who are spectators and fans, you will never receive an award. Is that true? Answer me, is that true? You will clap for all the people who received. You will celebrate all the people who got it. But life will never reward you for being a spectator. I came to declare to somebody, you didn't escort anybody to market. You came to sell. Come on, I said you came to sell. And listen to this, in this life, you will show up. You will play in the field of life. And guess what? Your crown will enter your head in the name of Jesus. Say louder, amen. Amen. It's on that note that in this service, I'm speaking on the mindset of high flyers. And the reason why mindset is important is because mindset is the software that powers every other thing. Show me a man who is consistently failing in life, and I will tell you the state of that mind. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Everything around your life is powered by mindset. If your mindset is not okay, you can't be okay. Greatness and success and wealth and poverty all begin in the mindset. Are you still there, somebody? So number one, every man is a candidate for dominion. I want you to settle that in your mind. Every human being on earth is a candidate for dominion. That's how God ordained it. And guess what? This even includes fallen man. It includes the man that is not a Christian. The DNA of God was put in man when he said, let us make man in our image. So guess what? He didn't say, let us make Christians. Let us make man. So man intrinsically, by his formation, was made in the class of God. Now, when you get born again and receive the Spirit of God and begin to walk in the blessing, you enter into another dimension of advantage. Can I hear advantage? Can I hear a better say advantage? You enter another dimension of advantage that is, and it's not just a heavenly thing. It's about succeeding here on earth before you finally get to heaven. So please understand this. Intrinsically, that's why man by nature was created for dominion. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's why when Cain killed his brother and God got angry and God said, I'm going to curse you. You're going to be a fugitive and a vagabond. The man looked at God and said, this punishment is too much. And told God that he's not going to accept the punishment. It's too much punishment. After all, Osama bin Laden killed about 5,000 people. He only killed one person. Am I correct? And the man was arguing with God. And God said, okay, because you're arguing now. I'll put a mark on your head so that people will not kill you anyhow when they see you on the road. And the Bible says, and he walked away from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, and he took a wife. Question. The man just walked away from a curse. But is he got married? Some people with a blessing are still not married. Then the Bible says, and after then he went and built a city. And some people who are blessed have not built a bacha. Is anybody here? God punish curse. I prophesy over you. Listen, the blessing is upon you. One of the greatest forces of life is called the blessing. That blessing is upon you. I declare, every dream in your heart, God will grant to you in the name of Jesus. I said he will grant it to you in the name of Jesus. Say louder, amen, somebody.
Amen.
The second thing I want to say about mindset is that the most, you see, and this is still speaking on the same line, is the fact that the most abundant characteristics of children is big dreams. Everybody say big dreams. I can't hear you say big dreams. Have you seen children? Take a child to the airport. And the moment you take him, he sees a plane, he wants to be a pilot, true or false? What do you want to become? Pilot. Have you ever driven your children to school before? And as they are going in the car, they are pointing out to this hotel. That's my own. And then two of them will start fighting because one other person pointed to the hotel that the first person has claimed. Has anybody seen that before? Serious fight, oh. Serious fight. I'm the one that first pointed it, America. I'm the one that first pointed it. It's my own. And they start fighting literally. Every child has a big dream. Take him to the hospital. Sees a man with stethoscope. He says, I want to be a doctor. Are you still there? The governor visited the local government area. You took him there. He said, I want to be a governor. He goes to a church. He lost the preacher that preached. He wants to be a pastor. And every child has those wonderful dreams. Until life slaps him. Pam, first time. 20. Pam, second time. 25. Pam. By the time life slaps him, by the time he's 30 years old, all his dreams are wiped away. He moves from significance to survivor. He said, if any good nut can just give me a job. Say, Father, I'm not asking for too much. Any good nut. If the local government area can give me a job, say, Father, you know I love you. Am I asking for too much? Life slap you the first time. Second time, before you were asking, Father, the husband must come from America. This is the height. Small chocolate color. He'll be smiling all the time. 15, 20. By the time I get to 30, Father, man is man. Are you still there, somebody? Life will not slap your dreams away. Every dream you put in your heart will come to pass. Let me do something prophetic in this service. And I really mean what I'm saying. It's not a laughing matter right now. How many of you are here? There's something you always thought you were going to become when you were young. Now, look, take a look at you right now. Children all around you, 40-something or thereabouts. And that dream, you knew from beginning it was God. And I'm not talking about any spurious dream. Now, there's something you've always wanted to be. You know something very interesting? When I was in FGC Warri, my head boy, which was our head boy, was my senior in school. Then I got to law school. His father and his mother, at that time they were between the ages of 60 and 70. They met me in law school. I called him. I called the two of them. I said, Daddy and Mommy, what do you want to do with this thing? At least we were going to practice the law. Two of you, what do you want to do with it? You know what they said to me? It has always been our dream. We made up our mind we will not leave this world until we have fulfilled it. Whenever I see them coming, I called their son. Say, Miss Salami. I'll call him and say, your parents are here. He said, Pastor, leave them all. That is what they said they wanted to become. Two of them said they must become lawyers in this life. Guess what? Is there anybody here that's a dream you always had? But life slapped you. And it's a long time you forgot about it. Something in you says you can still become that thing. I want you to stand up. I want to pray for you. This is not a joke. If you don't mean it, sit down. Please stand up. You want, Father, I still want to fulfill that dream. I still want to do it. I know that I can still have a second chance. This is not a call for everybody. There are people I'm talking to. There are specific people I'm talking to. Lord, I know you can give me a second chance. I can still become it. You know, a young girl was in a meeting like this. This is a true story, sir. And the pastor was speaking about fulfilling childhood dreams. It's a true story. And this young girl walked to the pastor after the service and said, Pastor, I've always wanted to be a doctor when I was a child. Said, but I know that one is impossible now. Look at three children and everything and so on. And the pastor asked her, do you sure? Are you sure you still want to become? He said, Pastor, why not? I really want to become a medical doctor. He said, call your husband. Called the husband and said, Oga, if this woman decides to go back to school, will you sponsor her? The man laughed. He said, with three children and so on. What are you talking about? If she decides, will you sponsor her? The husband said, why not? As I speak to you, that woman has been practicing medicine, I think, for the last 5 years. Full-time medical doctor. Why? Because she took a chance. That's why I'm making this call. I don't know who that person is, but 5 years from now, 7 years from now, you will come and testify. Do me a favor, put your two hands like you want to receive something. I don't know what the dream is. I don't know what the vision is. Life slapped you. Things happened. You pushed it away long ago. You moved from significance. You have settled for survival. And something in your mind says, after my first marriage failed, I will never have another home again. I will never have another husband again. I had big dreams of great marriage until life happened to me. Now I'm okay even if I die single. But guess what? I stand as prophet over this house and I declare that childhood dream, that thing God put in your heart, that dream heaven incubated in your spirit, I stand in the name of the one who has time and eternity in his hand. I declare, let that dream come to pass. Let that dream come to pass. Receive that dream in your spirit. Stretch your two hands. Receive that dream in your spirit. I convert it from dream to reality. I declare all the forces that you need to bring it to pass, receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive the connection you need. Receive the admission you need. Receive the contact you need. Receive the husband, receive the wife you need. I prophesy, receive the children you dreamt about. Let a dream come to pass in the name of Jesus. 3, 4, 5, 7 years from now, I declare on this altar, you will testify. You will testify. I said you will testify. In the mighty name of Jesus. Sit down like the king that you are. Hallelujah. Are you still with me, somebody? Come on, talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? For time's sake, who is a high flyer? It's a mighty warrior and a destiny warrior. It's somebody who has fought and who has subdued obstacles and established something great. A high flyer is somebody who has built large organizations or career or whatever. Because the truth about life, ladies and gentlemen, if you do nothing in life, life will never count you as great. If you do not do something significant, life will never count you as great. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you hearing me, somebody? That's why a young girl will wake up one day and said, I want to win Guinness Book of Record for cooking. Which food did she cook that your mother has not been cooking before? No, answer me, somebody. I just want to do something great. And guess what? Like play. The whole world knows that today. True or false? The whole world knows that today. I want to do something great. I declare over you, you will do something great in your lifetime. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, in this service, allow me to speak on, in the first service, I spoke on the mindset of I am the special one. That's one of the mindsets you must have in order for you to make it in this life. Is the mindset of a special one. In this service, I want to speak on the mindset of doing what works. Say after me, the mindset of doing what works. I can't hear you again. Say the mindset of doing what works. It's called in English language pragmatism. Say pragmatism. I can't hear you say pragmatism. I'm sure we've all had that saying, do not beat a dead horse. Do not beat a dead horse. Stop riding on a dead horse. It don't die. It's not working. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. Are you here, somebody? Activity is not accomplishment. Motion does not amount to movement. If you don't make up your mind that this thing you have done is not working and work out of it, you're going to waste your destiny and you're going to waste your life on it. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please answer, am I hearing me, somebody? That's why Israel embarked on a journey to the wilderness. The length of that journey is 40 days, according to geography. But they ended up 40 years on that journey. All they were doing was going around in circles. Until eventually, was it Joshua, that God called Joshua and said, listen, you've wasted too much time on this thing. For how long will you go around doing the same thing? And guess what? From the time God spoke, it took Joshua 14 days to cross into the promised land. 14 days. But guess what? For 40 years, they were going around that thing. Going around in emotion. I don't know what you are doing that is wasting your life and sapping your energy and getting you nowhere. But on this morning, I declare it ends in the name of Jesus. I can't hear you. I say it ends in the name of Jesus. Shout a better amen, somebody. You must make up your mind. There's a way. There's always a way. Once there is a will in life. No matter how difficult it is. I shared in the first service the story of Alexander the Great. 20 years plus. Father handed over the throne to him. And there was this thing they called the Gordon Knot. It's a knot that they said any king that can unscrew it will rule Europe. And the man looked at it. This is almost 100 years. My great-great-grandfathers have tried it. They couldn't unscrew it. He went there. He tried a few days. He couldn't unscrew it. One day he got up, small boy, 20-something years old. He said, what the nonsense? What the heck? Can't everybody be trying to unknot one knot and it's not going off? Give me my sword. They gave him a sword. He got there, used his sword. Mwah! Scattered the whole thing. The knot jumped out. He said, what you wanted is the knot to come out, isn't it? He said, the knot has come out. And according to the myth, they say, anybody who can unscrew the Gordon knot will rule Europe. Alexander the Great conquered the whole of Europe, sat down in Alexandria and was crying, God, there's no more world to conquer. Come on, are you hearing me, somebody? I don't know what you are prophesying to you. You will conquer your world. You will conquer your world. Shout a better amen, somebody. If the iron is blunt and you don't whet the edge, according to Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the iron is blunt, you don't whet the edge. It says you will need to exert so much energy, but wisdom demands you do it differently. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You can't continue to do the same thing over and over, hoping that things will change. So Solomon said, before you engage on cutting the wood, sharpen the iron. Sharpen the iron. There's something you can do that can change the results you are getting. Can I hear a loud amen, somebody? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a few things I'm going to say that will annoy you in this service. But please allow me, because if I'm your pastor, if I don't annoy you, nobody else has the right. But sometimes you need to annoy people to get them right. Am I correct? Please talk to me. Am I correct? There are people that until you annoy them, they will never wake up from their sleep. So I'm going to say a few things that will annoy you. You shouldn't stop your offering. Shame. Amen? Are you still there, somebody? Yes, truth about life is that many people who say life is not working, there's something they've been missing in life. There's something they've been doing wrongly in life. There's something they've not been getting right. And please, I don't mean this as a judgmental statement. I simply mean this to awaken somebody to consciousness. It was Fela Durotoye that came to this church many years ago and said the definition of P-O-O-R-O is passing over opportunity repeatedly. So there are a lot of people in life, there's something they've been passing over. God will always bring it, they pass it over. God will always bring it, they pass it over. And that needs to stop. Can I hear a loud amen, somebody? Amen. Bible says that the labor of the foolish man wearies every one of them because they don't know how to go to the city. When life is not producing the right result for you, it's wearying. It tires you. You feel dissipated because you're not getting the result you want. It's called the labor of the foolish man. It wearies him. But that's not your portion in the name of Jesus. Say a louder amen now. Amen. Four lies a lot of people like to believe. Number one, life no balance. Four lies. Somebody say lies. I want you to get these lies out of your dictionary. Number one, life no balance. Life was never designed to balance. You are designed to stand well. Did you hear what I said? Life was never designed to be balanced. That's why the earth is round. If life was designed to be balanced, the earth would have been flat. So all of us stand on the same plane. Is anybody hearing me? Life was never designed to be balanced. Number two, all things being equal. The man who said this statement should be in prison by now. This is the most stupid statement ever made. And poor people like this quote very much. Are you hearing me, somebody? Pastor, I will do it. All things being... Are you still there, somebody? Please answer me. When are you going to do this? I will do it, all things being... Ladies and gentlemen, all things can never be equal. Did you hear what I said? Listen, your fingers are not equal. Your left and your right hand are not equal. I hope you're aware of that. Did you hear what I said? Your two breasts are not equal. I hope you know that. It's the truth. It's the truth. God never designed it to be equal. There's a purpose for it. Did you hear what I'm saying, somebody? Please answer me. Are you hearing me, somebody?
how short you are. See how tall your neighbor is. You are never designed to be equal. Did you hear me, somebody? Life will never be equal. That's the way God designed it. But I prophesy to you, the equity of life will work in your favor in the name of Jesus. I said it will work in your favor in the name of Jesus. The other one is by the grace of God. By the grace of God is supposed to be a good statement, except that many people use it as an excuse why they will not get things done. Will you be in the fellowship tomorrow, Pastor? I will be by the grace of God. What they are simply saying is that if they don't come, they will say, ah, I was looking for the grace. I couldn't find it. So they can blame the grace of God for not doing it. Is anybody hearing me? But the worst of all of them is one of the biggest lies. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. Are you still there, somebody? Life was never meant to be fair. How many of you are aware favor is not fair? And how many of you know God is not fair? God is just. If God was fair, the thief on the right side of Jesus would not have gone to paradise. It's not fair. If God is fair, everybody look up here. If God was fair, with all you did during university, you shouldn't have a child. God is not fair. God is just. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, please understand. If God is fair, there are many, many blessings we are not deserving. God is not fair. God looks at the justice of Jesus having been on the cross on our behalf and says, for his sake, let's face it now. Let's face it. You know why Jonah refused to go to Nineveh? Because God is not fair. The people of Nineveh slaughtered the Jews so badly. Then God now told Jonah, go and preach to them. Jonah looked at the offense these people have committed. Then they will now say, God, forgive me. And God will just forgive them like that. Say, Mbado. Mbado. Forgive them for what? Jonah said, even if I will die, I won't preach to them. Let punishment come to them. Are you still there, somebody? And true to it, by the time the fish vomited him, the man didn't even enter the city so that they will not hear. It was in the outskirts. He said, 40 days hence, Nineveh will be destroyed. Pam, one bed carried it to a radio station. Radio announced it. Everybody started fasting. Animals were fasting in repentance. Jonah said, you see what I was talking about? That's exactly, this God is not fair. Listen, life may not be fair, but justice will give you what you did. God, justice will give you what is your portion. I said, justice will give you what is your portion. What Jesus died for will give you your inheritance. Shout aloud, amen. Five qualities of pragmatic people. Five qualities of people who are pragmatic in life. Okay? Don't forget, we're talking about the mindset of doing what is working. And stop doing what is not working. Number one, they are practical wisdom. Number two, strategic thinking. Number three, effective problem solving. Is it there? Number four, flexibility. And number five, open-mindedness. I'm not dealing with them. I just want to speak to you about one or two and I'm out of your face. Ladies and gentlemen, pragmatic people are people who are not led by ego. They are people who are committed to getting the good results. Whatever works, whatever can give me the results, that's what I want. Proverbs 12 verse 8 says, a man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Everybody say wisdom. I can't hear you say wisdom. For the last time, say wisdom. Wisdom. You know, there's a story about tortoise who wanted the whole wisdom of the world, traveled to the end of the earth, and he got that wisdom. And after collecting the wisdom in a bag, he put the bag on his back. Tortoise was coming back home and got to this part of the road where one big iroko had blocked the road. Short as he was, he tried to climb, he couldn't climb. 2 days, tortoise was struggling. The bag of wisdom was heavy on his back. Every attempt to climb the iroko, he could not. On the second day, one small animal was passing and said, ah, Oga Tortoise, how far? He said, don't be small, oh. 2 days now I've been struggling here. I'm going to the other side. This iroko blocked the road. That small creature looked at him and said, have you tried going around the tree? Like, go around to the other side where the tree stopped. See if you can pass it. And Tortoise said, I have not thought of that before. And by the time he went around, he discovered that there's a point where the tree ended. And there's still space to go over to the other side. And as he went around,
He thanked that small animal. The animal looked at him and said, why not move this wisdom from your back to your brain? You have the wisdom of the whole world in your back. You don't know how to just cross ordinary road. He says, is it possible to move this thing in your back and put it inside your brain so you can know what to do with the wisdom you have? People have been in church for many, many, many years. Hear all the preaching. How to move it from their back to their brain is the biggest problem they have. There's no truth. There's no information many people have not received in church. But most of their wisdom are in a sermon note, which is never translated to their brain. Most of their wisdom are written somewhere in a CD that they have never listened to before. In an online link that they have the link, but they will never listen to the sermon. Accelerate conferences ended. They have never been able to take one action point and say, this one, I will apply it in my life. Let my life change. But I declare over somebody, may wisdom work for you in the name of Jesus. For the last time, wisdom work for you in the name of Jesus. Please, never ever get to that point in your life where you say, I will not relate with a man because he's not a Christian. Because that's only most of the wisdom you need in life to succeed is in the hands of one unbeliever. Don't despise people. Is anybody hearing me? Never ever despise people. How do you relate with unbelievers? Do what cow does. A cow is hungry. He opens his mouth, packs the entire grass. He chews the leaf, he vomits the stick. You do not have to swallow everything. Deal with that man. Gain his wisdom. Gain his experience. Gain his professional competence. Remove his character. Is anybody hearing me? Vomit is womanizing. Vomit is smoking and drinking. But gain what you should gain from him. That's how to make it in this life. Are you there, somebody? Please, are you there, somebody? Stop living a life that has no direction and covering it up with religion. This thing is not working. When will you wake up from your sleep? Is anybody hearing me? Please, is anybody hearing me? Ladies and gentlemen, let me share this with you, and I think it's very important. Pragmatic people are able to navigate different obstacles to get to their destination. Pragmatic people they do what I call negotiations and compromises. That does not destroy your credibility, yet it's necessary for your next level. They know how to navigate and to negotiate without compromising their values and yet being able to get a headway. Those are called pragmatic people, ladies and gentlemen. Are you still there, somebody? Please answer me. Are you still there, somebody? That's why all through scriptures, we learn of pragmatic people and how they were able to navigate their way through. And these are people, I told you, they are flexible. I told you they have practical solutions. They look for practical solutions, and they don't try to paint everything in God will do it. They don't do that. Are you still with me, somebody? Please talk to me. Are you still with me, somebody? I know I don't have much of a time, ladies and gentlemen. But here was Moses in the wilderness, counseling 3 million people. And the father-in-law, who is not a born-again Christian, is a priest of Midian, look at him and say, this man will die before his time. I may not read Bible. I may not speak in tongues like him, but I know that the way he's going, his health will deteriorate and he will die before fulfilling his destiny. Called Moses and said, sir, I celebrate the gift of God in you. I know you saw the burning bush. And I know you saw God one-on-one. I know God speaks to you face-to-face. We need even to hear God. But please, can I advise you? Why not create rulers of 100, rulers of 1,000, rulers of 10, let them judge these matters of these people. And when there is a difficult case they cannot handle, let them bring it to you. That way, you have more time to spend with God. That way, you are able to dispense the ones that are necessary because now you have been able to delegate duties to people. You know what most Pentecostal pastors would have said? I'm a man of God. It is me that God anointed, not these people. And by the way, I'm the only one who can preach. Without me, nobody can preach in this place. It's called Superman ministry. Is anybody hearing me? That's how a lot of pastors go to an untimely grave. Is anybody hearing me? Superman ministry is when the pastor is the only one who is competent to do it. That's why in this church, all of you know now, if I disappear for 3 months, church gets even better than when I'm here. True or false? Truth! Because when any of these men are preaching, I'm sitting down and taking notes. I learn from their revelation.
I gain from their experience. Why? Because I've learned how to live long. Is anybody in church today? Pragmatism demands that you know that you are not the only one God called. There are other people God has called. Give them chance. Give them space. Allow them make their mistake. They will learn the way you two learned. You are the managing director, accountant general, secretary, administrator. You will die before your time. Heaven will be glad to receive you. Say, my son, come home. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Say loud amen now. Amen. Sister, be pragmatic. Husband is not coming. Ruth was very pragmatic. See, when Ruth arrived in that farm, she not say, husband, no go easy. So what did she do? All the laborers are proposing to her. She was targeting the head of the owner of the farm. Are you in church, somebody? Somebody say, be pragmatic. This is not a laughing matter. This is a pragmatic matter. Time is not in my favor. I don't marry for 10 years. Husband don't die. No husband. But man, no go die like this. Ruth was targeting the head. He said, who, me, go for all these laborers. No, even HOD, I need to go for. Now, the Ogapata Pata, they go for. Are you there, somebody? That like, I'm going for the, if I'm going to let me chop the one that is fat, that has oil. Am I correct? How will I go and chop rubbish and say, okay, you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, she targeted him. One night, the man was sleeping. She was sleeping at his feet. You know what she was saying? Just in case you don't know I'm available. Pastor. Is this pastor? That's why you're still not married. Because you don't know how to say, I'm available. An intelligent Christian man is interested in you. The way you will frown when they greet you. The way you are in a hurry to walk away when they are calling you. How will they know you are available? You are behaving like you already have 2 children. You are behaving like you don't need anybody, any love in your life. You are dying inside, though. Just that disposition of being nice, being approachable, being cheerful. See, if your face looks like the Book of Lamentation, and I'm looking for a wife to marry, even if God called your name, my son, Rachel is the one, I will not go. Because somewhere in my mind, I said, if she's looking like this without marriage, by the time 2 children arrive, my problem, join them. The sun will never shine in our house. Is anybody hearing me? Ruth was pragmatic. Say, so we will not die like this. Oh. First of all, I don't go chop ordinary food. I go chop the ogapata. Number two, I go let them know sir available. Do you know? Let me tell you how smart Ruth was. There is a stupid man, Ruth, we go and lie down by his side. The man will rape her. Ruth has studied this one. He has integrity. He has character. He's not an anyhow man. He's not a stupid man. He's the man that does things right the right way. So once Ruth woke up, the man saw Ruth. The man said, madam, I got the message. But please hold on. I'm going to announce to the whole family to see who is interested. Because there are other next of kin who have more right than me. The Bible says, remove his shoe, gather the elders together. And they say, please, this is a tradition of Israel. This shoe that I remove is just to say that there's a woman available, and I want to find out. Our brother is dead. She is back now. Who is interested? Everybody say, no, no, no. He said, on that note, to show you that God bought into the wisdom of Ruth, guess what? Not only did she marry Boaz, she became a grandmother of Jesus. Sister, be pragmatic. There's a way you will dress, we will know that you are available. There's a way you carry yourself, we will know that you are ready. Stop this thing. See, this thing about being scarce. Very scarce. Nobody sees you. Nobody, you are not available anywhere. Listen to this. And I'm not saying be stupid. I can't say that. I'm not telling you be foolish. I'm simply saying have a disposition that is receptive, that is warm, that is welcoming, and that is receptive. Say amen, somebody. Amen. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. Be pragmatic. Are you still with me, somebody? Be pragmatic. Solomon had to make a choice. This one said, am I picking? The other one said, am I picking? Solomon knows that no woman in the world, even if that child is an imbecile, no woman in the world will watch that child killed. You know what he said? There's no problem. All of you say it's your child. It's a very simple thing. Give me the sword. We divide the child to two. Madam, you take half. This other one take half. Everybody's happy. Solomon knew that the real mother can't watch her child being killed. It's called pragmatism. The other one say, that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. Nobody will have a child. The real mother looked and said, let her have the child. He will grow up tomorrow. My son is my son. He will find me one day. Solomon said, give that woman the child. That's the honor. Because no real mother will watch a child killed. It's called pragmatism. Are you still there? Please answer me. Are you still there? Please talk to me. Are you still there? Esther know when to talk to the husband. It's not a prophecy. It's not a word of knowledge. Listen. Esther knew there's a right time to talk to your husband. If he's a Chelsea fan and Chelsea just lost match, anything you ask from him, you have decided you will never get that thing in your lifetime. True of us. Please answer me now. You have already made up your mind that there's a curse on your life that you won't get that thing you're asking for. Chelsea just lost. The man is mourning. You now went and said, the list, I sent it to your WhatsApp. You will chop that list. You will chop that list. She targeted him. Made sure that nobody's serving food that day. She prepared dinner. Served the dinner. And meanwhile, she had not told the man she's Jew. So guess what? Because nobody even knew she's related and connected to Mordecai. So nobody knew anything. The king did not know that it was his own wise people that are about to be slaughtered by the decree signed. Esther said, please, sir, there's a I've been on the internet lately. There's some recipes I discovered. And I've she knows the husband she's serving. He's a man that likes show. It was because the first wife didn't want to respond to show. They sent her packing. So already she has studied the man. She knows his password. Guess what? She dialed it. I've been researching the internet. There's some recipes that my Lord will be very befitting to my Lord. Can we arrange a dinner this evening? And please, by the way, let Haman also be in the dinner. I want to show that man what kind of thing my husband eats. The king was happy. She prepared the dinner. When the man had eaten and his stomach was good, he was still doing toothpick like this and sipping the wine. She just shows up. I say, my Lord, that man eating my food wants to kill me and slaughter my people. The king said, you said what? Repeat it again. He said, that man that is by your side, eating my food, are you aware that he wants to kill me? My wife. The king got up. He was so angry, couldn't talk. He went outside. Foolish Haman. Now went to go and hold the woman to beg. The king came back and said, oh, first you want to kill her, but you want to rape her before you kill her. There was no case to judge again. Who is outside there? Please, that gallow that this man dug for the Jews, could come and carry him there. Don't forget his wife and his children. Line up all of them there. Let them be hung on that gallow. She knew timing. Madam, do you know timing with your husband? It's called pragmatism. Knowing him, understanding him, and knowing how to engage him. There is a particular time. Don't mention anything to him. The man just came back from work. Rub his head. Take off his clothes. Give him a hug. Serve him food. Don't talk about the gas that finish. Don't talk about fuel not in the car. No! He has enough he dealt with before he's coming back home. Forget about all the problem. Behave like the whole world is fine when he's calm and he's good. And if you serve him Zahoda room, it's not bad also. By the time he's coming out of Zahoda room, guess what? He said, honey, I just wanted to tell you, I didn't want to disturb you before. This one has finished. That other one is done. Just calculate everything. Don't waste time. Give me, what is the sum total? Know how to engage your husband. Can I hear amen, somebody? Amen. I cannot hear your amen. Amen. Somebody say, be pragmatic. Amen. Shout aloud, be pragmatic. See, Jesus, when they ask him, is it okay to pay tax? Jesus would have quoted one scripture and said, nonsense. I'm a man of God. I came from heaven and so on. What did he tell them? He said, bring me the coin. Look at it. And they said, whose image and superscription is here? They said, Caesar. Give to Caesar. What belongs to Caesar? Give to God. You know, one of the most touching story on pragmatism in the Bible is a woman is it the 12 spies and Rahab the harlot? Everybody look up here. These guys came to Jericho to spy. Intelligence already got to the that guy that advises the president on security. CSO. Already word has gotten to them that some spies came from Israel. So they were looking for these guys to behead them. And what did they see? Harlot. Everybody say harlot. And listen to this. That's where many Christians die unnecessary death. Is anybody hearing me? You know, before I finish this story, let me share this with you. True story. A brother was telling me. It was Kaduna riots. The riot was going on in Kaduna. Both of them were coming back from church with Bible in their hand. They had in church, there was riot, but they didn't believe it. Only for them to come out on their way trekking home. No bus. All the buses are off-road because of the so-called riot. As they were trekking home from a distance, they saw bonfire. And the people were shouting Islamic chants. So they knew they were Muslims. The one sharing the story with me said immediately, he carried his Bible, put them for one corner, folded his sleeves, and began to chant like the Hausa people, like the Muslims also. Began to chant Allah Akbar. The other one said, nonsense. I'm a child of God. Nobody can kill me. Rubbish. He carried his Bible and was speaking in tongues. He said when they got to the crowd and he spoke in Hausa and spoke some things, they said, you pass. He said he was still passing when he watched them take off his head. And it was in his presence they beheaded his brother. Took off his head and saw blood gushing out of an empty neck. It's called pragmatic. Pragmatism is looking at your reality on ground and dealing with it according to the wisdom you need to engage. Let me get back to the 12 spies. They watch and discover that their head will leave their body very soon. Whose house did they go to? Harlot. Whose house did they sleep? Harlot. And guess what? This harlot, they told her, you're not entitled to any portion of the promised land. But if you can save us, we'll give you a portion of it. You and your entire family. They sat down and negotiated and gave her. They cut a deal and gave the harlot a part of it. Their head was preserved. Their life was saved. And guess what? And Israel finally took over the promised land. Caesar. Pastor, are you saying do the corrupt thing? Absolutely not. I'm saying know how to negotiate your way with the wisdom of God without compromising value, without compromising your principles, and yet being able to find your way through. Is anybody hearing me? This is how Jesus put it. He said, be as wise as a serpent, even though you are as harmless as a dove. Know how to. That's why unbelievers succeed in business more than many Christians. They know how to do negotiations. They are happy to be a small part of a big thing than a big part of a small thing. You don't have the money to finance the business. This other man has the money. Guess what? 50-50. It's better to have 50 than to have nothing. Please, are you with me tonight, somebody? They know how to give you a big gift ahead of time so that you don't ask for a bribe. They understand how to do negotiations. Are you still with me, somebody? My God, I said, are you still with me, somebody? Make up your mind, ladies and gentlemen, that you must practice what I call pragmatism. Pragmatism. Are you still there, somebody? My time is already up, but let me just share this as I close. Why is it that many people... No. Why is it that many people don't do what it works? Number one, it's called one-way thinking. Everybody say one-way thinking. One-way thinking. They don't think about other options. Number two, they're interested in rules more than they're interested in results, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees will tell you, don't eat on Sabbath day. Don't pluck anything, and so on and so forth. Jesus said, no. Man was not created for the Sabbath. Sabbath was created for man. Number four, they don't know how to separate their emotions from their work. Pastor, my boss does not like me. In fact, my HOD hates me. What does that have to do with your work? You didn't get that job to be liked. You got that job so you can pay your bill, so you can have money to be able to look after yourself and take care of your family. If your boss hates you, so what? Continue the work. You didn't go for a boyfriend. Come and talk to me, somebody. Separate your emotion. This is a job. This is not a relationship. And guess what? When your boss hates you, it helps you to work better. Because you know any mistake you make, your job will go for it. At the end of the day, you gain the advantage because now you're working harder. If nobody hated you, you wouldn't have worked that much. Please talk to me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please, I beg you. Know how to separate emotion from your work. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, please understand there's a difference between compromise and capitulation. They are not the same. Capitulation is understanding how you can best negotiate out of a very difficult situation. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most foolish things I've discovered over the years, you know, 2 years before Miles Monroe died, I was in a meeting with him in that event center where Kozal uses in Lagos, somewhere on Bank Anthony. I was in a meeting there. He said something I will never forget. This is Dr. Miles Monroe, 2 years before he died. He said to me, he was saying to us, not me. It was a big meeting organized by INT, Professor Vincent Anibogu. And he said this, he said, the most foolish thing I've seen in Nigerian pastors, that they spend billions to build a big auditorium. And the thing is only used on Wednesday and Sunday. He said, that's the most foolish thing I saw in Nigerian pastors. This is Dr. Miles Monroe. That they spend billions on a big auditorium. He said, there's no school in it. It's not rented out for people to rent and bring money to the church. He said, the only thing that building does from Sunday to Sunday is Wednesday offering and Sunday offering. He said, that's the most stupid thing. He said, I have an auditorium in Bahamas. He said, that auditorium was built from the scratch as a multi-purpose center. He said, it generates more income for me than tithe and offering. He said, yes, the tithe comes and the offerings come on Wednesday and Sunday. He said, but because of the extra income we generate, he said, we are able to maintain the best equipment. He said, we change equipment. Once a new one comes, we change it. Once another one comes, we change it. He said, why? Because the church itself, the facility itself generates more income for us outside of church service than church service. Ladies and gentlemen, this is 2 years before Dr. Miles Monroe died. But I think it took another almost 5 years for me to get it right. And one day I was praying and I said, God, for how long are we going to go on like this? Why do we always struggle to do this? All our equipments are obsolete. Cameras are out of use. We don't even know what to do. And the economy is not getting better. People are struggling. They are doing their best to even give their offering. They are doing their best to pay their tithe. Equipments we bought for 1 million is now 5.something million. With the dollar rate, how do we go about this? And God said, your foolishness to refuse to use what you have is why you are where you are. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, your foolishness to refuse to use what you have is why you are where you are. Somebody say pragmatism. I can't hear you say pragmatism. That was when I sat up and I called the sister. I said, you know what? No matter how small, even if it's a kindergarten, start a school at this place. I don't care what little income comes. Not only is it changing lives, impacting people, but guess what? No matter how little the income comes, it will buy a chair. It will buy one microphone. It will do this, it will do that. And I called another sister. I said, you know what? Put something together. I said, this auditorium should not only make money on Wednesday and make money on Sunday, which, by the way, is not able to pay the bills anyway. I said, let us turn it into something more than Sunday, Sunday, and Wednesday, Wednesday, so that we can be able to put things together and be able to take care of good equipments and change the facilities that we have in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, you will hear the announcement very soon. Oh, yes, you will. You will. Because being pragmatic is looking at the economy of your country, discovering that people are struggling with their income, people are trying their best to do their best, and sit down and say, what can we do differently to be able to forge ahead? That's called pragmatism. Are you with me, somebody? Shout aloud, are you with me, somebody? That's why this morning I want to awake you. Take another look at how you have been doing stuff. What can you do differently with your business? How are you aware that there are companies who sit, who they've been doing business in a particular way, then they sit back and they rebrand? Come on, talk to me, somebody. What is the essence of updating your app all the time in your phone? It's because they are constantly updating the features. Come on, talk to me now. They're constantly. It was the same app you downloaded 3 months ago. Now they are saying update, update, update. What are they doing? They are saying do it differently. Something new has come. So the same phone you have been using, suddenly after update, the features have changed. Can you help me beg your neighbor on your left and your right? It's time to update. 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 And for some of you, updating just simply means change the way your business is packaged. That entire shop is filled with goods. Remove some of the goods. Put it behind you. Tell your customer it's in warehouse. Create small room. Put fan. Make the lights look nice. Play music. It will give you more customer than the one you are doing right now. Create a customer service department. Listen to this. It's one phone. That's all that is customer service department. Give it to one guy that knows how to speak English more than you. Just tell her, use this your phone voice. Anybody that calls like this, speak phone. That's your taxi business. Inside that taxi, buy Tom Tom. Put pure water. Somebody enter like this. As they're entering like this, do you care for Tom Tom? Do you care for pure water? Listen to this. That customer makes you his permanent customer for life. Is anybody hearing me? What is he doing? Doing something differently. It's called pragmatism. There's an hotel I stay in Lagos. Listen. I've been changing hotels until I got a hotel. I arrived there 10 p.m. one night. I forgot to book the hotel. This is in Lekki. I forgot to book the hotel. And by the time I finally did my last story, I'm out of your face. If that girl that said that thing, I'll catch you. I will catch that girl. Okay, after this one, I'm out of your face. Right, now listen to this. Okay. After this one, don't worry. 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., I got to the hotel. They said every room is booked except the presidential suite, 350,000. I said, I won't even sleep that night. If I pay 350, I will not sleep. I'll be counting the money. It's 1 a.m. It's now 2 a.m. How much has gone from my money? So I said, okay, there's no problem. I said, okay, I was just angry. As I was walking out, even the Uber that brought me has gone. I was just thinking of how I'm going to start looking for hotel this night. One voice said, excuse me, sir. It's an Indian voice. I turned, it's an Indian man. We don't like our customers to be unhappy. You don't look happy. I said, how will I be happy? Look at the time, it's 11 o'clock. And they said, there's no room. I don't have 350 for presidential suit. So you know what? I have to look for another. I said, no, sit down, sir. I'll get back to you. And they went and spoke to them. Pa, 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 pa. 5 minutes later, they called me. The man said, sir, this is the key to our presidential suit. You are paying 45,000 for the other room you should have paid for a room of 350. I look at the man. I said, well, you be Indian man, you not be black man. Black man not go do this thing. No black man go do this kind of thing for you. Are you still there, somebody? Guess what? I entered that room. I had to do a video for my wife. I said, baby, come and see me. See presidential suite. I only paid 45,000 naira. I showed my wife around. From that day, all my pastor George Zuma, I've carried him there. There's no pastor I've not taken them. All my pastor friends, I'm their chief marketing officer right now. You know the interesting thing? The Indian man has moved on to another hotel. I'm still stuck in that hotel. Why? Doing things differently. Rise on your feet tonight. Rise on your feet. Rise on your feet. I'm so sorry for your time. But please lift up your two hands. Say in the name of Jesus. Ande Bokosha. Say in the name of Jesus. Everything that is not working in my life. Relationship. Style of business. Attitude. Character, packaging, everything that is not working in my life, in the name of Jesus, today I let go. Say, today I let go. Say, today I let go. In the name of Jesus. Say, from this day forward, I receive the wisdom of knowing what works, of doing what works. In the name of Jesus, everything I need to change in my life, in my business, in my ministry, in everything that I do, I declare today, change comes. Change comes. Change comes. Change comes. In the name of Jesus Christ, I dedicate myself to the wisdom, flexibility, openness to information, new ideas, everything that I need to move to my next level, to be a high flyer, I receive it. Every change I need to bring to my business, to my ministry, to my marriage, to my relationship, I make that change. I make that change. I make that change in the name of Jesus. And I consecrate myself into a lifetime of doing what works and rejecting everything that is not working. I refuse to ride any dead horse. I refuse to continue with what is not working. From this day forward, I commit myself to a lifetime of what works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Can you give God praise in the house this morning?
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.